is 4:30, January 21st, 2025. Call to order a special meeting of my Clova Township trustees. And I'll make a motion to go to executive session to discuss contract negotiations.
Second.
Seconded by both. I'm the motion maker.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
What?
That's that rough call the other day. He says all side.
All right. You're good.
All right. Make to motion to return from executive session to general session.
Second.
Second by Lang. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Curry.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes. At this time, we have no action items, and we'll return to general session here in Charlotte.
That's a special meeting.
Close and make a motion to close the special meeting.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
And you're before.
All right. It is 5:32. I'd like to call the order regular on Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. I'd like to call order a regular scheduled meeting of the Monclova Township Board of Trustees. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, being the second meeting of the month, we have our departmental reports. A couple of new items under business, discussing the Ohio Commission for the Semi-System Quintennial and the Tina County General Assembly.
I move to add those to the agenda under new business.
Second.
Second is by Vickery. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
All right. Lieutenant Leach has enjoyed this tonight. So are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of our last meeting, January 6th?
I have none.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes submitted by our fiscal officer.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
All right. And then we have bills submitted by our fiscal officer. Totaling $922,285.55 per the attached list. I'll make a motion to pay those as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. Vickery on Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes. Yes. You got a couple of discussion items? Yeah.
I mean, basically, I'm close to closing year end. Appropriations. I don't know if I'll probably have a draft to you just before the next meeting, and then we'll approve them the meeting after that for the final appropriations for 25. Other than that, just updating the December bankrupt. I had to transfer some money since we had so many bills.
That's what I was going to say. That's a large amount.
Yeah. We had
highlighting the big expenses in there.
No, we had Kaleida for $100,000. We had the Dotson Company for $103,000. Then we had the sheriff's contract for $206,000. So just the way it,
the way they fell this month.
We had two payrolls in there, so.
All right. There's no correspondence?
No.
All right. Any other items? All right. Keep moving here. We have no old business items. And under new business items, the Tina County General Assembly is coming up on
Friday.
And Eric, I'm the designated township representative, and I'm unable to attend. So we discussed in the working session, since you are registered, that we would appoint you as the voting representative for the township.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I don't think we need any action I can do on that, do we? And then also we have this being, or next year, 2026, that will be the 200th anniversary of the United States of America.
And so there is a Ohio Commission for the Semi-Quincentennial.
Do you want to wait on that since Don's researching some stuff on it?
Oh, okay.
You should push that back.
Yeah,
all
right.
So Don did a little research.
Okay.
Did I miss the whole conversation?
No, I just told him to push it back as we waited.
Sorry.
No, she's waiting for Don. So you got it.
Not much of a conclusion. She said we need to involve individuals from our community, like local civic nonprofit corporate organizations, and there is a special training that's done through the OTA. I'm sure it's a webinar of some sort. If we can't find those people or we find no one's interested in celebrating in July of 2026 in this community, I'm not sure if this resolution can just be ignored.
I'm willing to pass on it since it's such shortness. This is just me talking. Plus, it seems hard to get people involved, and not they don't want to be involved in Montclair Township, but we're not the township like Springfield or Sylvania where they've got stuff and celebrations going on all the time. And it's very short notice to try to find somebody even to head this up unless somebody in the audience wants to volunteer.
And we can't even really explain it all that well.
Yeah. We just found out.
We'll receive
this.
Access to digital toolkits and an online community platform and regular check-ins with other communities so we can all talk about the festival where we're having. You're right, Trudy. We don't do that anymore. So, all right, we'll move on.
A park, kids, pets.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. No. I'm trying to follow. And
okay.
Not, yeah.
Right. We weren't doing a very good job of explaining
it. Sorry.
It's an opportunity to celebrate 250 years of America.
A great opportunity to help you celebrate.
Help us celebrate.
For a year and a half from now.
2026.
Yeah. Next July.
Yeah. But this would have to be passed by the end of this month because they want to get it going, get it in place, get everybody involved. Because it probably takes a large amount of time to put something like this together.
What would be Montclova's requirement?
Well, it says they're hoping to engage all Ohioans in all 88 counties through recognized programs, projects, and events over the next several years by inspiring future leaders and celebrating Ohioans' contributions to the nation over the last 250 years. So it sounds to me like we wanted to have some type of festival or parade or historic display maybe in the community center or something like that or we need to get local folks involved in volunteering, sharing with these planned activities. There's some grant money through the state of Ohio available, which we don't know to what extent.
If they want to get all 88 counties involved. I know Springfield's already passed something like this, so our county's involved. So it's just short notice to go ahead and they give us a short deadline.
Right.
So I'm willing to pass on
that. All right. So we also have under new business Board of Zoning Appeals Board. Commissioner Limes, his term is expiring at the end of February. And I know he's had some health challenges, but he is on the mend, I understand. I talked to him last week, and he is willing to serve on the board. So with no objections, I'll make an appointment to reappoint Darrell Limes to a second term on the Montclova Township Board of Zoning Appeals, term commencing February 22nd and ending February 21st, 2030.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. Yes. All right. Then we get into our departmental reports. Eric, we have how many pools are going in?
Let's see. No, actually got a pool request today. So
right.
First one of the season. So we're going to start, I'm guessing within the next month, I'll have at least five or six within the next month. It's a pretty fairly normal report. I do have a request, though, for the trustees to approve a quote for a property cleanup. It should be in your packet.
Mike's calling.
Exactly, yeah. And I have pictures as well of the party that for recent food for everybody. Just bring them up here for you.
So, question, since I've never, I don't know if the other trustees have had this happen in the township before on a cleanup.
Yeah.
So, since I haven't heard it, so legally we're just allowed to, after they've been notified so many times, the township is allowed to send somebody into somebody's property to clean it up. Want to get the short or the short story about
yeah.
works area?
So it's been declared a nuisance, and the property owner was notified. That any lien holders were notified. The next step was for me to go out and get a quote for a cleanup, which I did, and then I also got Richards of the property, and the property owner will be notified. After a date is established when they can come out there, the property owner will be given a notice of the cleanup, so it won't just be a surprise. And then, assuming the property owner doesn't start some kind of cleanup on their own in the meantime, then the property would be cleaned up on that day.
Does the sheriff have to be present? Because I know when I do an eviction or if it happens, the sheriff has to be on the premises.
In this case, I would suggest the sheriff be present, and they would be present, yes.
With the title vehicles, is there a close hand?
There's some vehicles there. Some of them are plated. Some of them are not. I don't know. I can't see close enough to tell how old those plates are, if they're valid or not. I mean, there's a lot of junk on the property as well. That's something that I would talk to Dawn about before I went ahead and did this. But I'm just bringing the quote today of the price, but that is something I would talk to her about before I did it.
So, I remember the story right though that it's rented. It's a rented house.
This
is not his stuff.
I never talked to the tenant. No, the tenant, my understanding is that it's not the tenant's stuff at all. It's the property owner's stuff.
So you never talked to the tenant.
I've never spoken
with
the tenant.
It belongs to him.
I've sent all my notices to the property owner.
Trudy, it's a very rare occasion that we have to do something like this. Our zoning code is, I would say, solid. We don't want dumps on Monclova Township property, right? So it's a strong zoning code. You don't get it to have abandoned cars, and in nearby townships you do. So that we are different, but we work really hard not to work with the homeowner, because we don't want to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think we've done the standard protocol on this property that we use on all the properties.
We have.
So I'm fine with the quote. And
I do have one other quick question, though. And it's probably in your report, Eric, so I apologize.
Okay.
I was trying to go through it. So its quote is, I think, $3,000 for cleanup. Does that go on to the property as a lien?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
It would go on and lien.
How many times do you think we've done this, Chuck? Six, maybe?
Something like once a year, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. Thank you for explaining it.
Yep, you're welcome.
I move to accept the quote from Mike's Hauling for the cleanup work located at 9840 Maumee Western Road. For $2,000-$3,000.
Seconded
by
with the appropriate leaning on the property for future collection.
Second the amended
LIENING.
Yeah. Seconded by Lang. The motion Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Hopefully the final notice works, Eric.
And there's been cases where we've gotten to this point, yeah, and we tell them we're going to be there. We give them a few weeks to give them time to do a cleanup if they want, and they've cleaned up property. That has happened before, so let's hope for that.
Another thing I wanted to bring to your attention on the large property transfers. You have two of the properties that were sold at an auction at Whale in September that was actually more numerous large properties that were sold that aren't listed, because I do believe that two of those large properties were purchased by the Metro Parks.
The way I go, maybe it didn't show up in the transfers. I look at the transfers every week for Lucas County, and sometimes they're delayed a little bit. Sometimes they'll say, you know, a month and a half, 2 months ago.
You are supposed to close by December 1st, but I know some of them were 2 or 3 weeks getting delayed.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know which address actually got sold to the remaining parcels. There was not 8 altogether, and I think you got 2. So there would be another 6 large acreage parcels that were part of that 389 acres that were auctioned off the month.
I'll see if I can get those other addresses and see when those transfers are.
Because I think if
some of them are in the mirror.
That,
yeah.
Okay.
So the question is, too, is I had asked this before, and I think somebody explained it, Gavin, on the metro parks, when they acquire any land, our police and our safety services are made whole?
Harold's
saying
yes.
Oh, Harold's saying yes. Okay. So I'm assuming
we
invoice them?
We have
an
agreement? It's in my memo tonight.
Okay.
I sent an invoice for this year already to the metro parks.
With the new parcels then, I mean, if they accumulate new parcels?
The auditor's office goes through all of their list of metro park holdings in Monclova Township,
mm-hmm.
and they send me a spreadsheet and tell me what I should, what the invoice to the metro park should be.
Thank you.
And then, Eric, I just saw in your report, it looks like you got 5 or 6 that says you're waiting for a bridge. I know we talked about this before. Would the credit card just that?
It's
difficult,
yeah.
It's not Eric, but to talk to.
Well, but
he's always said he needs a.
Well, we had mentioned that before, and I batch after every credit card, and I think, Gavin, you were talking about if there's numerous charges, how do you separate the charges of who does what? But I'm just saying I batch after every transaction.
I know. You see your computer all day. And I said, oh, Lana, when we get an assistant, we'll look at doing a whole bunch of other things, but you guys can continue to ask the same question if you want.
Okay. Is that something now that we have to move forward?
That is down on the list. We'll get there at some point in time.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Anything else, Eric, or any questions for Eric? Chief Homick.
Our report for December, we had 179 incidents for the month with the breakdown on there, and that brought us up to 2016 incidents for the year, and we completed 1,514 patient care reports for the year. I have a couple of items for action, requesting appointment, contingent appointments for the full-time firefighter paramedic position. Michael Harris, this is the applicant that our panel is recommending. He's currently a resident at Defiance, currently a firefighter paramedic with the Defiance Fire Department, looking to lateral transfer over here to our department. He had lots of good points the committee went across in the interview process and interested in kind of, you know, the progressive nature that we have here and wanting part of the startup and transitioning to that full-time career. I'm just looking to continue that. That'll fill the remaining firefighter paramedic position from our initial 2022 hiring that we have.
And Matt, there was some discussion in the working session. So would you say in your report, the hiring committee, that yourself, Chief Junker, Harold, does that involve any of the other officers?
On the committee for the panel for the interviews and that, we also had Josh Stagner, one of the firefighters from the bargain unit, that he was selected by the bargain unit to participate with us. That's the only one on the full-time side. Our two part-time officers, as well as the captain of fire prevention, were involved with the part-time and paid-per-call employees, but not on the full-time side. That was from the original direction that you guys gave us after we did the initial hiring with this citizen committee involvement. Your direction was that we could just do it with the administrator, the chief, and the fire chief. And then we added the representative from the full-time bargaining unit to help participate.
And with Mike living in defiance with him? I mean, when there's when he's off duty and on a call, is that present? He just, I'm presuming the plan is for he's not moving.
He did not mention anything. I don't know that we could ask that.
No,
I don't think we could ask that. But we would have an incident recall that we do for off-duty times, just as we currently do now for any of our full-time personnel when we have a large-scale incident or we have multiple calls going on. We trigger through the WENS currently and a recall of our full-time personnel. So he would be able to come back for that. Oftentimes it's not necessarily that we need the help for the incident, but we need the backfill back at the station because we may be out on an incident that's going to take us some time to resolve.
Is that where a lot of the pay-per-call guys come in, though?
The pay-per-call are activated on the they're activated on a more frequent basis.
Correct.
For a real incident like that or at a large backfill, we also do a recall through a pay-per-call as well.
How big is Defiance Fire Department?
I do not know how many ones they do on an annual basis, but it's they cover the city of Defiance, and then they have some areas in the surrounding townships or villages that they respond to as well.
And it says 10 years? He's been there 10 years?
Correct. He's been with them since as a part-time individual first, but 10 years full-time he has with them.
And then we, as part of it, you mentioned the drug screening in here. Are we doing a background check as well?
We have completed the background check, FBI, BCI background, the interview. He completed the firefighter mile physical agility test. So we have all of those results back. He is an active member of the pension system, so it wouldn't require him to do a new pension physical to if he was appointed here.
All right, I move to hiring of Mike Harrison. I just lost it.
For the position of full-time firefighter paramedic, contingent upon a successful completion of drug screening and subject to a probationary period of 62-hour shifts.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The next request is for the final full-time paramedic position that we started back in October of 2024. We had another round of interviews, had several applicants for that. The panel went through and we're recommending Victoria McLeod, resident of Oregon, Ohio. She's been an EMT since January of 2022. And a paramedic since January of 2024. And she has prior service with Hanco EMS that does both 911 services as well as like private ambulance interfacility transport. That she has completed her interview, her BCI, FBI background, and our physical agility test that we created for the EMS personnel. And then this, like I said, this will give us the final full-time paramedic to put one on each shift, and then along with the firefighter paramedics, that will give us then two paramedics at a minimum on each shift, which will give us one paramedic for each of the medic units. So we'll be able to guarantee ALS response on both, on all of our calls.
You shared with us that Michael is looking forward to the opportunity to start with a full-time department and potential for growth. You don't mention anything about Tori and why she would find this great opportunity. Can you share that with us?
Sure. For the most part, it was kind of unanimous from almost all the applicants that we have that there's not a lot of primary 911 services that paramedic only can do, or EMS only.
So the style of job you created is what she liked.
Right. Her interest in EMS. She wants paramedic, but right now she's working in the small communities, or she's working with the like private ambulance type company where they're going to nursing homes or they're doing interfacility transports. They want everybody that has applied here for full time and or part time expressed the interest in running primary 911 services.
Perfect. We're interested in it too. I move to approve the hiring of Victoria McLeod for the position of full-time paramedic, contingent upon her successful completion of the medical examination and drug screenings, and subject to a probationary period of 62 shifts. And I'm sorry, quickly on that. So okay.
Seconded
by Vicki on the motion.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes. And I guess, Chief, with the hiring of Tori, now we have a number of full-time female firefighter/EMTs. With the dormitory situation over there, needs to be addressed.
Yeah, we are moving forward with that aspect of trying to get those guys down together and formulate some plans. And as I said, have had the last bit of hiring that we did initially where we made some adjustments to some of the bed space so that we could isolate some areas for the females in addition to what we had, just basically one spot. So we now have at least the two areas that they can use, the fire office quarters that is over there, as well as the female dorm room that was the community dorm room. We took the other bed out, got out into an area. But that is still a process that we're working on to come up with those plans and to see what we can do to rectify the dormitory situation over there.
I have a question, though. Barbara's brought it up numerous times because you've got the training room down there, and I've been down there. It's packed. Equipment, partitions, chairs, tables, exercise stuff, everything is now in there. How often do you guys do training? This room is probably not, Barbara's mentioned it numerous times, this room is probably only used 4 or 6 times a month. If I'm just throwing this out there as an idea, what happens if you guys did your training down in this room? That frees up that training room down there for temporary, partitions, instead of everything being piled into that room down there. You can hardly walk.
That's what we're looking at. We're looking at how we can convert that space into the dormitories.
Right. Would it be easier to bring to the trustees and say, hey, we got training 2 mornings a week. We can put a board up here and do your training down here and then free up all that space.
Yeah, we have had that direction from you guys in the past that we can use this space for training, and we have used it at times. That's the area that we're looking at of changing that entire space over into dormitories.
Can you give us a deadline?
Well, it's kind of difficult. I mean,
well, I just say because Barbara brought up about more females now being here and the sleeping arrangements being there and that kind of stuff.
I mean, the last direction that you gave me was that we weren't looking to engage an architect yet. So I guess that's where I'm at. I mean, we're trying to come up with the ideas of how we can do it, but I don't have costs without talking to somebody about that. So that's where my hands are kind of tied.
We don't have our hands tied on this issue. We've been discussing it for 3 years, and to come back and say the trustees have your hands tied is kind of a stretch for me.
I didn't say you have my hands tied. I said my hands are tied in the fact that
because we won't let you hire an architect.
Your last direction was that we were not going that route.
Let's put it on the agenda, Chuck, to sit down with the fire chief and talk in a pre-meeting about how we get this accomplished. These chairs, I have 2 people in the audience just to know. Carol's to attend, I'll give her a too. So, we can have 2 rows of chairs. The chairs can be picked up. This desk can be moved. And we can create space tomorrow if we choose to create space. Partitions are available. We've offered that. We've talked about trailers. We've talked till, you know, our mouths are dry about how to help you with this problem immediately. We are not the holdup. We are not the holdup. I'm not going to even listen to anyone say we are the holdup. If you have a builder, an architect, a plan that didn't require us to spend $50,000 just to hear what the plan was...
Well, that's what I'm working on now. I made some contacts with some of the people that I talked to at the Ohio Fire Chiefs Conference.
We have more to do now.
We'll take the action on this.
Accept the resignation?
Yeah. Well, we've got one other thing.
We've got another time.
All right. So, all right. Well, let's... Harold has got some...
No, we have to approve that.
Another.
But work on that architect. Discuss that with Harold.
Amanda Hughes.
Yeah, right. Yes. I have the last report. Additional part-time paramedics. The part-time paramedic position is needed to fill the openings when the full-time paramedics have their time off, the Kelly days, again, so that we can continue to guarantee two paramedics per shift, and we can guarantee ALS coverage staffing for both of our medic units. So I have three that we went through. They were applicants for our full-time position. When we selected Victoria, we contacted these three and asked them as well if they were interested in part-time. They all said that they would be interested in that. So we have Reagan Large, a resident of Toledo, who currently works as a paramedic with Donald Martin and Sons. Amanda Hughes, who is an RN also at the emergency department in Wood County, has prior EMS service both in Texas and Ohio here, looking for some part-time employment. And Joseph Loomis, who is a paramedic with some of the private ambulance companies here in Toledo that he's worked with, Mobile Care and Superior. And again, have all expressed interest in coming to our department to work primary EMS services without having to do the firefighting.
So great. Move to approve the hiring of Reagan Large, Amanda Hughes, and Joseph Loomis for the position of paramedic, contingent upon their successful completion of medical examination and drug screening, and subject to a probationary period in accordance with the fire department policy.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Thank you for doing all that interviewing work. I know that,
that
is...
That's too bad. I'm sorry. 10 plus years experience?
I'm sorry?
Okay. The two have...
Yeah, both Amanda and Joseph have they have quite a bit of years of experiences in private EMS.
That's all right. I thank the team who did all that in that interview work. Now is this the important work of onboarding so that they are thrilled to be part of Montclair Township team.
I have one other question then. Now that we've filled a couple of these other positions, are we moving on to the safety grant hiring? Do we have another round going on? Are we interviewing more? How many more applications?
Yes, the application period closed January 3rd, and we started scheduling the interviews. Assistant Chief Yunker has everybody scheduled for this coming week for all of the applicants for the remaining full-time positions. The positions, the three for this era and the one by Turner when he resigned.
So this week we should have something coming back at the next meeting, hopefully?
We would anticipate either next meeting or the second meeting in February, depending upon the time frame it takes for the background checks to get done. They typically take about 7 to 10 days to get back.
Do good work. Don't rush the work.
Absolutely. We tend to be thorough and go through everything, review everything just as we've done with the others.
All right, then we have other action that was not poor, but I'll make a motion to accept the resignation of Captain Scott Bachelman from the Montclair Township Fire Department effective February 5th, 2025.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right. Maybe that's Supervisor Holland.
How are you guys tonight? All right, so...
Yeah, heated seats in those snowplows?
No, but they do make them. If you want to splurge, we can make that happen.
No, we're not.
We didn't have any incidents. The reason why I told you guys this is because I think this is a testament of our training stuff that we did last winter. With our two new hires last winter, they rode with all the seasoned drivers to learn the do's, the don'ts, the hows and the whats, where to turn around at, those kind of things. So we did take our new mailboxes, which wasn't huge snows, but for someone learning a big plow,
that's a big deal.
It's a win. So yeah. I'll take it.
What I found interesting when I was at the open house and we're talking about snow plowing is one of the guys said, oh, that's on my route. Like, they have the same route.
Yes.
So a majority of the time, I would assume, which also makes it easier not to hit mailboxes because you're kind of used to this cul-de-sac.
So one of the changes that we did is we, instead of just bidding on trucks, we bid on trucks and routes before the season started. So before snow flies, they're dragging their routes and they're doing the leaves. They're thinking, oh, there's a manhole sticking up here. This mailbox is kind of far out. There's a sign here. There's a basketball.
Yeah, I like it.
So when I call them at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no question of what truck am I in and what route am I doing. And if someone doesn't come in, we have plans for everybody. So say we're going to run with 4 people versus 6 or 3 people or whatever.
You know how to do it.
It's all pre-planned. And then each truck has a route book. So if we have 3 people, okay, I picked up route 1, 3, and 5. Right? So it's... It took a lot of the 3 a.m. thinking out of it.
What are the... I'm not stopping because Gavin's in a hurry. What's the least desirable route? Like Ram Road?
No.
Hey. Oh, I'm thinking ditches. I'm thinking ditches.
I would say that subdivisions and turning all those roundabouts.
Okay, so Waterside?
Waterside is, in my opinion, the worst because you have so many call signs.
No, who didn't? Was that the last one bid on?
No, that was the first one bid on, and that was Todd Osborne.
He wanted it.
He knows it. That's the one he's always bid on. He knows
right.
What route
okay.
Not.
So I just wanted to know what the last one bid on was.
Mine. So I take the leftovers. So I always take the oldest truck and the least favorable route.
What's your route?
Behind here, Strayer Road.
Renwood, Strayer.
Renwood, Bridget Renwood.
Strayer could have some.
So
you could fall into a ditch.
Not that one. No.
That's not going to.
No, it's so, and that's kind of how I run the show. Like, I'll take what's left over.
Got it.
Okay. So that went well. Crack seal list is done. Thanks to Harold. He helped me out. That's the first time I had to do it from scratch last year that we did it. Ken had it laid out for me. So it was like rolling the dice. Harold fixed me a lot. I'll just say that. Building. So our building's crews. There's doors. There's lights. That's moving. It should be. The annex building, I think Harold's addressed that in his report. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll get that information in a minute. Vehicles, GPS stuff was supposed to be installed today. Didn't happen. It's going to happen Thursday at 9. So we'll get all the plow trucks on GPS minus 16 because 22 is in build. That's the one we bought early because of, right? We did it last year. So when that comes, that's going to replace 16, so I wasn't going to spend money to put into 16. That's silly. So that's going to be truck without GPS unit for now. What else? We sold our truck on GovDeals for $18,700, and it's gone. The guy picked it up today. Kathleen and Harold hustled getting paperwork done at the last minute, and it's not in our parking lot. Guy's super happy.
So Chief's buying you lunch because you sold the truck before you sold the area?
Not only faster, but I also got it gone fast. It could be lunch for everybody. Or breakfast.
I did see it too. When I saw it 2 or 3 days, it was at 16,000 somewhat. It went up a little more.
It did. It did well. And that guy's actually interested in truck 16 when that goes on GovDeals. So he's kind of building a fleet for a private business. Perfect for him.
Does he want a fire truck?
Nobody wants classics. Cemetery stuff. I just emailed Harold the acceptance stuff for all the mapping is done. The guy that was doing it retired. He finished it up. I just sent it to Harold at 3 o'clock, so he hasn't seen it yet, but once that's done, then we're moving on. We should. And they will be at OTA if you guys have questions for Sims. Parks. We ordered cameras. We are going to install outlet to each pole on the opposite side of the big old ball course. It's going to come from the bathroom, and we'll do it ourselves. We'll run it up, and then TriroTech will take it from there. We're waiting for all that until the final done with our team because we have to run Cat 6 from one end to the other, and I don't need holes in the building holding up that process. Not that I won't be too code, but I don't want to give anybody any reason to balk at something. Operationally, we changed how we did Christmas trees. We didn't use the chipper. We did trucks and trailers. We did it in 2.5 days, where it normally takes 4 to 5 days. We had the random, hey, there's a tree over here. We noticed that we weren't plowing. But the app was the big game changer in that, and I think as this app is more used, people are picking it up on it, things will happen better. I haven't talked to these guys about it yet, but what I want to do is maybe put under out for our stuff as far as we're going to pick up Christmas trees on this date. We can set that date today because we know what we're going to do next year for that. Leaf pickup, we kind of have an idea now of this is where we're going to go. So you have almost a digital calendar of, oh, like trash day, oh, it's Christmas tree day. You have time to think about it, see it, and know
you're right. Yeah, just add it to that calendar, right?
The guys did awesome. It's been extremely cold, so they've been working on indoor projects. We've been checking the annex building because of the heat issues there. I've been down there about every other day just to make sure nothing bad has happened. They redid our mezzanine up top, that part just in the loft. That got blown out a little bit to the east. So now our paper products are broken up, so fire has their own side, admin has their own side, and maintenance has their own side. So when I'm pulling materials, I can actually charge. If I used a case of toilet paper, for instance, instead of it coming out of my budget, it can come out of Matt's. It's easier to track that way. He's one get one type thing. Before it was just kind of all bulk, and it was really hard to keep track of who had what, when, and where. This way, so we cleaned a lot of that up. We took a lot of stuff this month to Kripke's. Lots of junk, just unloaded junk, stuff that we don't usually. Operationally, that's really about it. Harold and I, everything else in Harold's report, I guess that we need to talk about.
All right.
My phone's
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Any questions? Anyone going to OTA? Everyone's going to OTA?
Yeah. Get to go to OTA.
Exciting.
Working nonstop as your representative.
So, should I come?
I'll just be working. You won't even get to speak to me. I'll be doing OTA kind of things.
And I will start on cemetery grant stuff that you gave me last meeting.
Okay.
I'm starting to catch my breath a little bit, so I'll jump on that.
Sounds good.
All right, Harold. Thank you, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Yes. the open position in the maintenance department from Steve Wynn's retirement. We had over 60 applicants. Doug and I read each and every single one of them. Came up with a list of six people that we wanted to interview. We did those interviews between December 12th and December 26th. And after the interview process, we talked it over, and Doug and I are absolutely in accord. We would like to recommend Patricia Porter for the position. She interviewed very well. She has extensive experience in virtually everything. She's a farm girl, so she's run a backhoe, she's run loaders, she's run excavators, she's
tractors,
done everything that we do. She does her own maintenance on her four-wheel drive pickup that she drives.
So she's going to become our maintenance person when, we always have that
succession
plan. Yeah.
The guys listening to the shop are mad right now because you just said that.
She's very enthusiastic and so she is our recommendation.
A couple of questions. You said you narrowed it down to six right away. Did you rule anyone out based on location or just what, lack of tangible or real experience?
Well, there was one application, I think, that came from the Bahamas or someplace.
Yeah, right. That one's the only one, right?
Right.
we do look at proximity when we're considering somebody. We prefer to have somebody close, but nobody was eliminated strictly because of where they live, no.
And is Patricia giving notice to a company or
she
government
is,
entity?
She is available to start on
February
6th, which is the preliminary.
So currently isn't working at an employer?
I think she has 3 or 4 part-time jobs.
Okay.
And she's going to be giving those up to come work for us full-time and have benefits and so on and so forth.
So I'm assuming the closer proximity beyond the rotating of the call-in in case a tree's down and you need to send out the barricade trailer and...
So there's no requirement for us to say you have to live in the township or near the township.
Okay.
I don't know where I can find that. I don't think legally we can do that.
Okay.
However, if you live in the Bahamas, that's not going to work. When we went through these 60 applicants, there was a lot of things why we threw some out. I think that was your original question. When they have cleric wares, that shows lack of attention to detail. If they're going to make cleric wares on when the year they graduated versus the year they were born, probably not what I want in a maintenance department. So there were some things like that we did a lot of folks
easy
out.
Cheap, right.
So the simple ones, we had so many, we're like, okay, why do they want to be here? How many jobs have they had in the last 3 years? Oh, you've had 15 jobs in 3 years? You're out. Right or wrong, we had to start tearing a window down. When we went to the last 3 people, we mileaged them from their house to us. We everything to rule them out, and they were neck and neck. It really came down to the interview scores when we talked, and when we walked out, when they walked out and I come back in, we were instantly on the same page. There was no question about every time. And the first one, we're like, oh, that's our guy. Second one, I feel like the first guy. The third one, we were 100% on the same page the whole time. This is a culture change for us. It's not a big deal to me. Her work ethic, from what I've seen, from what she told us and what she has kind of shown, she doesn't have any bad habits of coming from another municipality. She's not saying, well, you used to do this way. She's kind of an open book as a sponge. What I do like about someone that's willing to work at 7 barns and getting up at 5 in the morning to go do these things 7 days a week, it's not going to be hard to pick up the phone and say, hey, we got a plow. Like, I don't foresee those issues. So we'll see what happens if you guys approve it.
Sounds great.
And that's why there's a 90-day probation.
Right. I move to approve resolution 01-2021-2022-01, authorizing the township administrator to hire Patricia Shabor for the position of road maintenance worker.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Can I also move to approve $15,850 for I thought it was an additional payment. Let me keep going.
No, go ahead.
For replacement of the furnaces and water heater at the Annex building for the December 16, 2024 proposal from ProTech Solutions. They were the low bidder.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm to certify the Montclair Township is responsible for maintaining 65.882 miles of public road as of December 31st, 2024.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. Do you remember how hard that used to be?
It used to be, and then the state of Ohio came up with this new program that they use. What do they call it? LBRS.
So it's no longer
They pronounce it Liebers, but there's no vowels in it, so I don't know how they do that. Anyway. It's taken away all the
ruler measuring of the roads.
Yes. And it's
that really went on.
It's all GIS mapping, and it's all very accurate.
It used to be 50 miles when I first started, I think. Yeah. All right, any other questions for Harold in his report? Being the... Do we have an executive session to discuss economic development? Before we go into that, do we have any questions, comments, or concerns from any of your audience members tonight?
Do you want to add something else for an executive session?
Yeah.
You said personnel.
Okay. All right. So I'll make a motion to adjourn from general session and to move to executive session to discuss A, economic development, and then B, personnel issues.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On motion Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Why did you have one guest? My husband wouldn't go if I paid him.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, who stole so? I thought, that's Eric.
She's from her family. She's from that area.
And, that was funny.
I'll make a motion to return from executive session, general session.
Second. Second by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes. And at this time, we have no action items from executive session, and I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Second by Vickery. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
All right, guys, stay warm.